50 years ago this week, the profoundly polluted Cuyahoga River burst into flames. Now, there's lots of myths about that fire, but its legacy is clear. It fueled the country's young environmental movement, later the creation of the EPA and the Clean Water Act. For many, the river is frozen in flames from a photograph from that time. But the fire is long gone, and as we found out at the river's banks, that fire also changed the lives of Clevelanders, like kayaker Kate Schneider.
I grew up in Cleveland. I know Cleveland really well. But when I'm on the river, I have no idea where I am, because I've grown up in a city where we've turned our backs to our lakes and rivers, and so we don't really know what it's like. Like, I'm walking around, I'm like, oh, that's that coffee shop I used to go to all the time, but I'm paddling past it, and I have no frame of reference of my geography.
There's a red moon rising on the Cuyahoga River, rolling into Cleveland to the lake.
Yes, they're kayaking on the Cuyahoga. It's more than the songs written about it, like Randy Newman's Burn On. And to some natives like Jane Goodman, executive director of the Cuyahoga River Restoration, that song's part of the problem.
Can we just start with the myths about this? We've been listening to Randy Newman's, you know, you're making a face, you know, burn, river burn.
I wish he would write a new song, or at least a new verse.
About how it's not burning anymore.
People who live here think it's still burning. Believe me, there are people who say to me, oh, you mean the river that catches on fire.
Burn on, big river, burn on.
So, let's set the record straight.
So the actual fire in 1969 was a few miles upriver from where we are, a spark from a train going over a trestle, lit some of the garbage on the river on fire. But it only lasted 20 minutes?
Give or take.
In fact, there are no pictures of it.
That's right. Not only because it was over so fast, but because it was such a common occurrence. When it was mentioned the next day in the paper, it was like in an inner page. It wasn't even front page news.
And then Time magazine picks up the idea of the river catching on fire, does a piece, and they use a picture from 1952.
Yes. Which was much more photogenic.
This picture is the thing that sparks, literally, you know, excuse the pun, the budding environmental movement, eventually the EPA. Explain the context, 1969, what was going on that this became such a big story?
It was a perfect storm. Lewis Stokes being a congressman, Carl Stokes, his brother, having been elected as the first African-American mayor of a major American city. Carl Stokes recognized that this wasn't just a water quality issue, it was a social justice issue. He got the city to pass a $100 million bond to start cleaning up the river. At the same time, the Time magazine article came out. There was this terrific photo of the 1952 fire, and people bought it because it was a follow-up to the moon landing. And on the cover was Teddy Kennedy in a neck brace. It was the Chappaquiddick issue. So the reason so many people found out about it was because they read that issue of Time magazine.
Well, thank goodness, because change began there. But Jane, can you describe, we've seen pictures, we'll have some at herenow.org. I can't believe the pictures of the cars that were lining the banks, like abandoned cars, nose first. To what? Keep the riverbank back?
Yeah, when you don't respect a waterway as a river, you just see it as an open sewer dump site. You don't know how to stabilize banks. You put whatever you can there.
This was considered the price of industrialization. You had sewage, you had oil and gas and
tar, building materials, chemicals. Everything you didn't want in your neighborhood, you put by the river.
And how often had it caught on fire?
1969 was the 13th fire that we know of.
It looked to us in a picture we saw, they were literally sucking things out, like giant vacuums sucking things out of the river. How did it get cleaned up?
So Frank Samsel, who started the chandlery that served the maritime businesses, just decided to outfit a boat called the Putzfrau, cleaning lady in German. That made it possible for the rest of the major cleanup efforts to happen.
Well, we made our way over to Samcell Supply, the massive marine supply and servicing company right on the river, where we met Frank Samcell's now-grown children, Kathy Petrick and Mike Samcell.
Nice to meet you.
Hey.
Hi. Hi, Robin.
Hi, Robin.
And
hi.
Mike Samcell, your dad, Frank, we understand, outfitted this boat with what to clean up the river?
Dad designed the boat to use a vector, which would pick up the oil off the surface of the water. And in the after end of the boat, there was a crane that would pick up all the debris. And then we'd put those in 18-yard dumpsters. Those would be removed with the truck. And then we'd pump the oil out of the boat.
You went out with them?
Oh, yeah.
How bad was it?
Pretty nasty. But it's gotten better. I mean, look at it now.
But did your dad, I mean, did he get paid to do this?
Well, my dad's an entrepreneur, so he saw that they were picking up oil pretty inefficiently, straw, different items like that. He thought, I can do a better job, and I can make some money at it. So he had to do two things. He had to invent the equipment and then do it competitively so that he got the jobs.
So, Kathy, we understand this coming weekend there's going to be a torch that will come down the river, sort of symbolic of the fire that was here before. I think your dad's going to be honored. I mean, what's your sense of that?
Well, I think it's wonderful that we've come so far and that they are giving Dad credit for some of the work that he's done and everything. We're so proud for Cleveland. I mean, they cleaned up the river so fast that within 20 years, the boat was out of service. It's taken the last 30 years to really just clean the rest of it.
What's it like to look out on the river now?
Oh, it's amazing. To see the boats come up and to see recreation and industry are working together, because there was no recreation down here whatsoever.
The river itself, or this section here, has become more of a neighborhood, you know. And people are working together and playing together, you know.
You must be proud.
Oh, very proud. I'm proud of Dad and really, just like Kathy, I'm proud of the city, you know. I'm proud of the people of the city of Cleveland to come together and fix this up.
Back on the river, Jane Goodman, again of the Cuyahoga River Restoration, agrees. It was the people of Cleveland, businesses, environmentalists, citizens, who decided their river needed protection.
So when you stop poisoning something, it can start healing. Most of the recovery had to do with businesses being regulated, not being able to add to the problem. And this wasn't just Clean Water Act, it was Clean Air Act, because a lot of what landed on the river came from smokestack industries.
We understand that Cuyahoga means curving
well
river.
Done.
And you still will have these huge vessels coming down here, and it gets kind of crowded at times. How are you managing the new recreational use with the ongoing industrial use?
Very carefully. When people started using it recreationally, the operators of those huge vessels were terrified, and they still are. They don't want to kill anybody, but they cannot see a stand-up paddleboarder.
We'll post a video at herenow.org of some of these huge vessels still making their way down this curvy river. It's frightening.
Yes. And remember, those ships are 700 feet long and they're 100 feet wide. This river at its widest is 136 feet.
We understand there are students that go around and hand out flyers. They go around in little boats and hand out flyers warning people. They could be big ships coming through here.
Oh, yeah.
But just what has happened for the city because it got cleaned up and people are using it?
Some of the people who never would have invested now see it as a prime place to invest. People who would not have lived on the river now see it as a wonderful place to live. People who would never have thought to bring their kayak past the natural river now bring it into the ship channel. The warehouses that the river brought cargo to are now lofts and apartments and condos, and they're sold out. Amazing things can happen when you don't give up.
The Cuyahoga River still has a ways to go. Some sections, for instance, remain on the list of impaired waters monitored by the Clean Water Act. And remember kayak instructor Kate Schneider? Well, she says she still sees garbage out on the river, and her parents don't want her to fall in. But
I mean, it's just kind of beautiful, the types of birds I've seen. I've seen tons of blue herons. There are like these sort of surprises that I see all the time. I think it's special, and I think it's a really interesting route because like I paddle all over North America, and this is one of the few places where I can be paddling and then see a large container ship cargo ship right beside me, and then a bunch of people rowing. So I think that's kind of interesting and beautiful about
it. It's urban.
It's very urban.
All right, let's get going, get you on the water.
Bye, you guys have fun.
Cleveland, city of light, city of magic. Cleveland, city of light, you're calling me. Cleveland, even now I can remember. Cause the Cuyahoga River goes smoking through my dreams.
Much to do this weekend on this, the 50th anniversary of the Cuyahoga River Fire. Rowing events, blazing paddles, the Paddle Fest. Tomorrow, the Native American Water Blessing.
Burn on, big river, burn on.